Sunday night, Orla Bay's Kislev, ladies' shir, women's shir. I don't know. What's the proper word? Women or ladies? Same thing. Girls. Chavis Halvavis, Shar HaBechina. Okay. We're in the Psicha to Shar HaBechina. The purpose of Shar HaBechina is that Shar HaBechina, which means examination or reflection or contemplation, and it is of various things in the Bria to make us aware, A, of Hashem's existence and wisdom, which wisdom denotes purpose, that there's a purpose to the Bria, because so much wisdom goes into something that it should work. There's obviously a purpose for all of this complexity. It's not just for the heck of it. Actually, you could say that just about the very act of creation, and that's true. But again, we have to internalize all these ideas. We say every day, you know, it is Hashem, we believe in Hashem, and Hashem can do anything. But then when we live our lives, it's very tough, because we're physical people and we can't see Hashem, and things happen in the world that we don't understand. So, okay. So the purpose of Shar HaBechina is really a bridge. On one end, it makes us aware by examining the Bria, by examining, it doesn't have to be nature, it could be examining history. He'll give a list of things that we should apply Bechina to. Reflection, examination, contemplation, realization, awareness. So on one hand, we become aware that Hashem's a reality because we see great wisdom and great complexity, and that doesn't happen by itself. Okay, and it leads us to realizing that everything is Tov, and we have to develop that Ayin Tov. We have to develop Ayin Tov. We have to learn to not complain in the winter that it's too cold, and in the summer it's too hot, or too much rain, or too little rain. We have to stop complaining and say, Baruch Hashem. And you study and you learn why it's cold, and the world needs cold and the world needs heat, and that's the seasons, and that's how things grow, and that's photosynthesis and everything. The whole nature runs with the seasons, but we don't know that. You have to learn it. That's what he says. He wants us to study science, he wants us to study all the disciplines, or else we don't know. That's what we're going to learn today. So it's a bridge. It's a bridge between awareness of complexity and wisdom in every facet of the Bria, and again, of history, of everything. I'll just use the word Bria to include everything. And it leads us to Shar Avodas Elokim, which is based on our feeling of Hakaras HaTov. So that's the purpose of Shar HaBechina. The reason he had to write it is because people don't naturally have Bechina. They have to be taught how to develop it. Why don't they have it? He gave three reasons. One is they're busy with their lives. They're busy with running after what he calls Havlei Olam Hazeh. They're not thinking about Hashem. They're busy. They think they're busy with good things. They're busy meeting mortgage payments. They're busy taking care of the house. They're busy with good things. But a Jew has to develop God awareness, because it's all meaningless without that connection to Hashem. So that's one thing. So people don't stop. You're busy when you're running to make the bank and it's going to close. I was going to say at 3 o'clock, but I forgot what country I'm in. It's going to close because it's 12:30. You don't have time to stop and look at a flower. You don't have time to stop and think about oxygen. You don't have time to stop and think about electricity and about how Hashem allowed electricity to be harnessed to so much good and the bank and why you're running and the thought process and your memory. Like, there's so much. We don't have time. So number one is to make people stop and think. And also, he says, because people want to acquire more, and people are jealous of other people, so they're always, so even if they're not busy making the bank, but they're busy figuring out how to have more things, how to acquire more things, they're busy accumulating and getting, so they don't think about Hashem, and they don't appreciate the world because they're too busy. That was reason number one. Reason number two is they get used to it, and he gave that wonderful story about the kid that grew up, even though he had nothing, and someone adopted him and brought him up to the house and gave him all the luxuries, but he was used to it from when he was a child, so he never really appreciated what the person gave him because he was used to it. And he wants to break us out of our hergel and say stop and think about the and again, I'm extrapolating to the knowledge we have nowadays, and again, by me, knowledge is like Google and Wikipedia, which is kid stuff. If you ever really go into something, it's much more sophisticated than that. My kid has hurt his foot, so I called up my friend doctor in America and described him the symptoms. He said it's shin splits, something called shin splits. It's something, you know, like he's growing faster than he's growing, something like that. So he said look it up and do what it says. Nowadays you look it up. So I tack a click, you know. So first is Wikipedia, but then there's medical sites. And everything has symptoms and causes and treatments and everything. But it's like I could spend the rest of my life with ease researching this thing, this one thing that makes my son's foot hurt him a little, or a lot, whatever it is. So I'm saying, so hergel, you don't realize it. So that's the reason number two is people are used to things and they have to stop and be some lave. They have to be mesim lave to everything that's going on in the Bria. And if they will be some lave, they will spontaneously burst out in song and praising Hashem and thanking Hashem. And the third is what we started learning last week, is that sometimes life deals us what we think is a bad hand, difficulties for sure, bumps and difficulties, so we lose appreciation for what we have. Like a blind person, if a person's in an accident, chas v'shalom, we don't want it to happen to anyone, but he gets blind. So he's focused on his blindness, and he's bitter and angry and resentful and depressed. And Chayyus HaLavus wants him to say like this. First of all, your kidneys are working, and your heart's working, and your lungs are working, and you're still married, and you still have kids, and you're still mobile, and you can get around, and you know, and so you know, I realize it's not good. Well, I shouldn't say that. You're not shalem, but first of all, you have so much else. He makes two points to Chayyus HaLavus. First of all, we lose sight of what we have when we have one thing going wrong, right? So, and that's not correct. And then we come to realize, as we do Bechina, we come to realize that I don't know why, but it's good. I don't know why it's good for me to be blind. It's good. I don't know why. So then you learn, in Shaar HaBitachon he talks about it, we could a little, ourselves, we could say, you know, maybe the person was a workaholic, and he was working himself into the grave, and now he's going to live another 60 years, because he's blind, and he has to slow down by nature. Maybe it's a man, and he's doing Averis, and it's good for him to be blind. He has to thank Hashem, you know, against all of eternity. What's a little blindness for 50, 60, 70 years? Maybe Hashem did him a tremendous chesed, and it's a schar for his being good. Maybe it's a kapara for Averis. Maybe it's a nisayon. It develops our character, that's for sure. We have bumps in the road. Doesn't always have to be an illness. It could be anything, any of the problems of life that Chayyus HaLavus is talking about that stops natural Bechina. This is why he had to write Shaar HaBechina. For these three the purpose of Shaar HaBechina is the first thing I said. It's the bridge between Emunah and Avodas Elokim and Hakaras HaTov and Emunah. the reason he had to write it is because we don't do it on our own, because of these three reasons. And the third reason is this is the problems, and he compared it in his mashal to the hospital where blind people come to get better, and it's all set up for them, and it's all mesudar, and there's a rofe there that's healing them, and it's all set up for them special, but they don't take advantage of the rofe. And in the nimshal it means people don't take advantage of Chavis Halvavos, of Shara HaBechina, and they could see Hashem and see the good. If you study, you could see the good. Maybe you'll be Zolche, not always. Sometimes you could see it after 20 years. Sometimes you see it by learning, and you realize that there's many reasons why things could be happening, and it could be there's a greater good. But instead, they just go berserk, and they just get angry, and they don't take the refuah, and they just start, climbing all over the hospital, and they're blind, so they keep knocking over things, and then they keep getting angrier and angrier and angrier, and they don't want to say, and then they accuse the person who only meant their good and set up the hospital to cure them and to make them happy and to give them appreciation, and this, they just accuse him of taking advantage of them, and the way people talk. So that was his marshal with the hospital. We're going to start from, so that's the third reason is that there are tzaros in the world. He doesn't minimize that there are tzaros. He just wants, again, the way to counteract a lack of appreciation to Hashem because of what's going on is A, to realize how much else is going right. B, Aleh this, he doesn't say this, because I see it. I see it in my own life. I see it by other people. So many times Hashem softens the blow. Hashem softens it. As hard as it is, and as much as it hurts, and as painful as it is, but it could have been worse. There's nothing wrong with saying that. It could have been worse. And you landed on your feet, and there was someone there to help you. And I told you with my wife, with Tuvia, I told you a story. My wife won Shabbos a grandchild. I'm not going to say who it was, but it wasn't me, it was a grandchild. Poked her in the eye, and all of a sudden, she ignored it, because that's how she is, but then all of a sudden, a few hours later, she couldn't see. And Motzei Shabbos, a guy, Tuvia from Muncie, he visited me, which he used to do, but stopped doing, and then he popped in out of nowhere, and he sees my wife, and he punked knew a lady in Harnof that had a connection to the top doctor in Shari Tzedek for these things, and she gave her the phone number in his house, and he said, come over, sounds bad, and which is very wonderful of him, And Tuvia drove my wife to his house, and he treated her right away up north. So like that, that's a cushion. Her eye was still messed up, and she had it was a few weeks even that her eye hurt her, and she couldn't. I don't remember. But that's called Hashem cushioned it with a nace, a nace. So why did it happen? We don't know, but. It's cushioned, you have someone that's there to help you, you have someone that takes off, sometimes a person has a tzara, and there's someone to take off the, at least, it's a health issue, but at least there's someone taking off the financial pressure. So that he doesn't say, so that there's, first of all, if we had to make a list of things going right, second of all, there's a cushion, third of all, in the long term, it could be a tova, right? Could be a tova that we could see. Then it could be a kapara, or it could be a nisayon that brings out heretofore unused kaiches, and we overcome them and we grow that way. So that's Okay, but so those are the three reasons why he had to write Shaar HaBechina. He actually does not discuss this in Shaar HaBechina, what I just said. He discusses it in to he discusses it even that a little, not well maybe. He goes through the reasons why things could be happening to people in Shaar HaBitachon. There also it really doesn't fit, but he sort of segues into it, and he just goes off on a tangent, and he explains why bad things could happen to good people, and how it's a tova. Hashem is only doing good. Hashem is a meitiv. But you develop that belief in Hashem's tova through learning Shaar HaBechina. When you overwhelmingly see goodness and wisdom and benefit all around you, and you're amazed at all the things that work, and then so then you just trust Hashem. You end up trusting Hashem, and even if you don't understand it. So there's two madregas. There's a madrega where we accept it and we know it's tova, you know, or we could reach a madrega of actually being besimcha, which is asked of us halachically, although I would imagine the halacha knows that it's really very hard, if not impossible. And la'asid lavo, there won't be the bracha of dynamis anymore. We'll see everything, we'll understand everything. Like the famous line, you know, up here there are no questions. You know, you go up, there's no questions. Not just the answers, there's no questions. So you'll understand everything, and that's what it says in the Gemara, that there's no bracha of dynamis, la'asid lavo, because there's nothing that's even everything, there's such clarity, and you understand everything, that so there's just tov. Now really, even now, it's just tov, it's behester. But even if you want to look at it as bad, I'm going backwards, he says it's totally outweighed by all the good things. So instead of being morbid and depressed and angry and resentful and upset and dysfunctional, some people become dysfunctional when they have problems, you sit down and make a list of all the things going right, and it lifts your spirits, and you trust Hashem. And then maybe you're able to get to the next madrega, where you'll say, and who says it's bad? I mean, it's bad, it's not the way I would like things to be. Sometimes there is objective bad. Again, bad, just, I'm using the word bad now as a synonym for the, I'd like things not to be that way, like if a person gets sick. Nobody claims. There's a very good, everybody saw a video, a very cute video. Okay, you know, you didn't hear it from me, but if you Google, it's a very cute video, how not to do biker cholim. So go to Google and type in how not to do biker cholim, and you'll see it's from biker cholim of Baltimore, I think. I'm not sure. And you're gonna laugh out loud though. If you don't want to laugh out loud, then don't watch the video. It is like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. It's just like very, very funny. How not to do biker cholim. Okay. Okay. We're gonna start like towards the end of the psicha. We're gonna start from after the third reason, after his marshal with the hospital, and he brought down a pasuk in Koheles that it's a foolish person that gets angry at Hashem. So again, he understands, all this was no fool, he understands that people have really, really bad sorrows. He knows that. He's talking, you know, he's telling us how to look at it. He's telling us how to deal with it. He's not brushing it off. He's teaching us. He wrote the Sefer. We didn't start the Sefer yet. He's explaining why he wrote this. He's explaining there are three reasons why people don't naturally have it. And this is the third reason. And he's going to teach us how to do Bechina so that on our own, when bad things happen, when troublesome things happen, when we hit the bumps that are inevitably a part of life, we will be equipped to deal with it emotionally. We'll be equipped to deal with it. He's not talking about how to deal with it pragmatically. You got to deal with it, right? You have to deal with it. you can shirk your achrayus to deal with it, but how to deal with it emotionally, vis-a-vis Hashem. Why is Hashem doing this to me? Plain and pashut. Okay, so can I have this for a moment, please? And I'll page 166, the paragraph, the Kivan Shehu came.
That a long time ago was told never call anything bad, but call it difficult instead.
Okay, halavai. Halavai.
It's a challenge.
Yep.
One of the books I read said, don't call it bad, call it bitter. Like medicine. Medicine is sometimes bitter, but it's not bad. Make you
better. I'm not, it's all true, but we're learning Chayvus Halvavos so that it shouldn't just be, you can call it what you want, but if you're bitter inside, it's not going to help you. If it's bad inside, it's not going to help if you call it bitter. That's why we would be talking also. We can walk the walk, we can talk the talk, but we're talking about Chayvus Halvavos, how to really feel that to reach a madrega that we don't, the word bad, Halavai, we would reach the madrega where we are aware that Hashem is doing it for our own good, even if we don't understand it, and we don't get angry at Him. Forget about thanking Him. I mean, we're supposed to make a bracha, right? We're supposed to make a bracha b'simcha. But all these things are very good, but we're not. What we're learning here is how to make those things real. Not to call it bad, call it bitter. These are all aphorisms. Chayvus Halvavos wants us to learn Shaar HaBechina, which does not talk about these issues. But he is convinced that if you learn Shaar HaBechina and you do Bechina, Chayvus Halvavos is a how-to book. I said it a million times.
How would the Rebbe translate Bechina?
It's a hard word to translate.
Reflection,
or we're used to it meaning examination, because we take bechinas. So examination, or reflection, or contemplation. We're examining nature, not nature, the bria. We're examining the bria. We're reflecting upon the bria. We're contemplating the bria. We're analyzing the bria. All of these. Okay. So again, and he's really pretty bold. He's saying, you're gonna learn how to do bechina, and when you learn how to do bechina, if you do it, you will be able to cope with the troubles that life throws at you, that Hashem throws at you in life, without, you'll be able to, without. I don't know, we don't want you to get depressed, we don't want you to become dysfunctional, we don't want you to become angry at Hashem. Okay, without becoming angry at Hashem, without becoming resentful at Hashem, without becoming dysfunctional, without becoming depressed. Okay, that's pretty good. You'll do it. When you learn Shaar HaBechina, I'm giving you the key to happiness, to being happy, to be appreciative, and to have gratitude. Right, that leads us into Shaar HaBechina Elokim, when we have that gratitude. Okay. The Chivan Shehu came. Now he's going to say, well, from here till the end of the Psicha, he's going to say that since Bechina is so important, and since people will not do it on their own, so they have to be taught how to do it, and that's why I'm writing this Shaar. Bechivan Shehu came, since everything I've explained up till now, the importance of Bechina and the lack of it happening on its own, for those three reasons, since it's so, his chayivu anche achochma, v'hamado, amazing. So the Talmid Chachamim, I would imagine it means, but v'hamado means those who are aware of science, of knowledge, of general knowledge. He's not talking about Torah. He's talking about general knowledge. The truth is, I have to defend Torah. I don't want anybody to. Okay, so why don't we learn science all day? Which is really a good question from the perspective of the Chayvus Halvavos. It's not, it depends what you mean. If you mean learn science, but if you mean why don't we just do Shara Bechina whole day? That's a marvelous question. It is a really, really good question. Why don't we thank Hashem a whole day for all the good that He does for us? And really, we're supposed to. And the Chavis Halava says, we do. Everything we do is saying thank you to Hashem, is appreciating Hashem. But before we do that, we have to learn Shara Bechina. And how much time should you spend on Shara Bechina? So to speak, I'm talking now from the perspective of a man who has to learn Torah. I don't know. I suggested to the men when I learned it with them that they spend 20 minutes a day on it. You see, we're like creatures of all or nothing. Okay, I'm going to spend the whole day on this, and then you do nothing. I said, it's quite enough. Take one of those books that I brought over there, and take one of those books. And actually, by the men, I did it for a year. I did it for a year, a little more than a year, where we talked for 5 minutes. And I had guest speakers. Jonathan spoke to us once about the sand, I think. Sand and the wind. You know, something with sand and the wind. They talked about that. Dr. Stern talked about the teeth, the nisim that are in a person's teeth, like the amazing. So we actually did it for a year. I suggested 20 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. It's really enough. It's halavai. And it grows, because 15 minutes a day is over an hour a week. And there's 52 weeks in a year. And you have something if you. But that's all the... Okay, we'll see. We'll see. But he says, "Eschayvu anshei chokhma, that's tamidei chachamim b'hamada, and those knowledgeable in the fields which give you insight into the bria, lahoir, to teach mishlo haven tovas habore, to teach others. Those who know, those who are aware, have a responsibility to teach others. It's very, very important. Ulahoros b'nei adam, to teach people. Ladas Yisronam, to know these tovos that Hashem is always bestowing upon us, b'derech sichlam, not just to get in an emotional rapture, but to understand, to study it, to study how the... I remember once we delved into how it's amazing, just how food breaks up into the nutrients that your body needs, and the blood carries each nutrient to the place that it needs it. Like, how did that happen? It goes off the exit of the highway, like on its own. Like, it goes off the right exit. And it's a two-way highway, because it's taking away the garbage, and there's no median. No barrier. There should constantly be crashes. They should be constantly crashing. We send a piece of mail and we hope it gets to the right place. and we're not surprised if it doesn't go to the right place. There's like millions of, I don't know what the word is, I guess vitamins, vitamins, minerals, carbohydrates, sugars, all that stuff going to the... And if the wrong thing would go, if the wrong nutrient would go to the kidney, it would go to the kidney instead of the spleen, and instead of to the, again, I'm not well versed in this, but I went into it once, and I said, amazing. It was in Parsha Shmini when I talk about how food is bad spiritually for you, non-kosher food. So you say, well, how is that? So I wrote an article, the Chadash. I said, well, forget about spirituality. We don't even know how food works physically. I say, okay, physically I understand food, but how could it make a difference in my spiritual essence? But the truth is, we don't have understand how it works in the physical. How does food give you nutrients? You eat something, eat an apple, and you digest it, and all of a sudden it's amazing. This sugar and vitamin and mineral, whatever. And it somehow is extracted from the apple, and it goes to the right place in the body, that you do understand. It's like there's a marshal, this is a thing I once heard, it was very, 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 very powerful, made a big impact on me. We say in Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos, Ishbar lo yeda, right? A fool doesn't understand. Uchsil lo yavin azos, and Ishbar means an empty person doesn't know. Uchsil lo yavin azos, doesn't understand this. Befroach Hashem k'mo yeisev, etzisu kopo al yavin, and the Rishon are succeeding in this world, but it's lihisham dama deyad. So the focus in the thought that I heard is chsilo yavin azos, doesn't understand this. And the story was said, the marshal is a guy who's in a plane. He says, you know, I want to see the controls of the plane. Okay, come in, and they show him the cockpit, and there's like tens, scores, hundreds, I don't know, dials and all sorts of controls and everything. And he points to one, he says, I don't understand how that works. So we say, fool, you know, everything else you do understand. A fool, lo yavin azos. A fool says, oh, I don't understand why Hashem did this. And you do understand why Hashem, everything else you understand, just this you don't understand. So the same thing, like, you know, I wrote that you don't understand how food affects the spirituality of a person. The truth is, we have no understanding how a food affects the physicality of a person. How does that work? What kind of nace is that? What kind of nace is it that cows give milk when they eat grass? That's you can make such a machine. Right? Sheep grow wool because they eat food. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. It's like the alchemist. We make fun of the alchemist, but I think this is more amazing than the alchemist. Or even we, like, you know, we grow in this because we're eating food. Like, what does that food have to do with my growth? Like, we don't think about these things. Okay, so he says, you have the people who know Mado, and the Talmidei Chachomim who understand, have to teach it to people. Ladas Yisronim, to understand the Tova that's involved in all of this, B'derech Sichlam. Now he makes a very good point. He makes now such an important point. He says, if you don't know, you're not going to be happy, and you won't have the benefit, you won't have pleasure, you won't enjoy life. You won't enjoy it because you have no idea what's going on. I won't enjoy the nisim of the digestion of food if I have no idea that it exists, and I have no idea how complex it is, and I have no idea how much is involved, so I don't enjoy it. So I'm missing out on the enjoyment of what Hashem made in this world to enjoy, and I'm missing out. I don't have any enjoyment from it. I'm cheating myself. You know, the enjoyment of seeing color. Anything. There's so much. The enjoyment of anything, of seeing, of hearing. And so we're missing out on enjoying life. He says, Nebuch, ki kama tovos mona ba'alehen, how many good things are people missing out on? Lehonos mehen, the irbev simchoso bohen, and they're not being happy, they're not getting simcha by the realization of what Hashem is giving them. Chisorin hakaroso alson, because they don't know, they never learned. The yedios ma'alusin, you never learn how amazing it is to see, or how amazing it is to breathe, or how amazing it is to taste, or how amazing it is to swallow, or people. Many people have no idea how amazing it is that the Jews are back in Israel after 2,000 years in Golos. It's so utterly amazing. How did that happen? Mamish is like that says in the Haftorah. Me Yolad Liyasela. Where do all these people come from? We complain because, you know, complain about things. Just so you're not enjoying it, you're missing out on simcha, you're missing out on enjoyment, you're cheating yourself. And when you teach as Balei HaTobos, the people who are the recipient of all these good things, Lahaker, to be aware, Ofane Yisronam, how these things are good, Umagalam Lohem, and you reveal to them, Ashanela Midaito Mehen, what was heretofore hidden from them, Yigdal Shivcham, they'll start praising and thanking Hashem, but Terebeho doesn't, maybe they may even start dancing in the street. Then we'll think they're crazy. Then they'll enjoy. Awareness is enjoyment. You can't enjoy these things if you're not aware of them. So they're being cheated. And now they'll have like a burst of pleasure, a burst of hana, which Hashem wants, and they were missing out on. Because Hashem wants us, I say more than anything else, you know, not to negate Chas V'Sholem to do any part of a mitzvah, which is an absolute obligation, but more than anything else, Hashem wants us to be aware of Him. And to be aware of Him meaning, and the more we're aware of Him, you know, we're learning a Shara Bitachon now, the more you're aware of Him, the more Bitachon you'll have. And for our purposes now, we say the more you're aware of Him, you're aware of Him more, the more you're aware that He does. So you become more aware of Hashem. So everything is Shechar Tov L'Olam Haba, because what Hashem wants from us is to be aware of Him and to be thankful to Him and to have gratitude. That's like, according to Chavis HaLovas, that is it. That is what we are doing in this world. That's what the Malachim do a whole day. They praise Hashem. And that's what we have to do. And in fact, the Chavis HaLovas says, an amazing Kiddush in Shara Avodas Elokim, that every mitzvah we do should be done in that context. We're thanking Hashem. Now, how do we thank Hashem? So we could say Hallel a whole day. But Hashem told us how to thank Him. Hashem said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to connect to Me. I want you to be spiritual people. I want you to be good people, Be'adam L'chaveiro, which is ultimately being like Hashem. I want you to be like Me and get Olam Haba, where you could be part of Me and bond with Hashem L'netzach. So that's pretty amazing. So you get the pleasure of Olam Hazeh by learning Shara, by implementing Shara HaBechina. You get Olam Hazeh, you enjoy the world, you enjoy your life, you're happy, you're in a good mood, you are grateful, your whole... Nebuchadnezzar was in my house last night. I'm related to her. She's sad. She looks sad. I told my wife. She's sad. She's a seminary girl. She's sad. She looks sad. I told, you know, I said, you know, people are looking at your face. Nebuch. I felt so bad for her. Not only is she sad, but she looks sad. She's probably home. Either she's homesick or she doesn't like her seminary.
Isn't it though, like for some people it's much easier to be the simcha in what you have, and other people are by nature more pessimistic and it's harder like for them to be happy?
So who are the lucky ones?
The ones who are for it's harder?
Yeah. So they have to work and they grow and they steig and they get more schar in Olam Haba and they develop their character more and they overcome the obstacle. They're the lucky people. The people who are naturally... What Me Worry, Alfred E. Newman, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody knows Alfred E. Newman is here except for me. Raise your hands, Alfred E. Newman. What Me Worry? Come on.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no, man.
Do you think disability is... that kind of can do a lot to give their offspring disability and then it carries on into the next generation? Disability of appreciation.
Well, yeah, but Hashem doesn't... But then Hashem will make sure that they have their personal avoda too. Every person gets their personal avoda. Some people, everybody has different issues. Some people are lazy. Some people get sorrows in their life. Some people are, you know, some people were born in Russia and lived in Russia from 1930 to 1952. You know, what's that all about? What were they supposed to do? So a lot, we don't know a lot of things. Everybody has their own situation. And Hashem, that's another one of the amazing things Hashem does, so that everyone has a situation. But I'll tell you one thing I learned being a rabbi, and it's the best lesson in the world, even if I had to put up with everything just for that. Really, I mean, it's something we all know, but I feel it. Everybody has problems. Everybody has opportunities. Everybody has things that they have to work on, and it's really wonderful. Hashem wants us to. This is what the Gra says, that everybody comes down to this world to be misakin their midos. Really, and everybody has to overcome something. Sometimes it's a natural pessimism, sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's laziness, sometimes it's cynicism. Everybody, and Hashem exactly like works out your life, that this will solve your issues, this will make you a happy person. So that's what he says. He says, you develop bechina, and you hear, without bechina, you're cheating yourself of the pleasures of Olam Hazeh and of Olam Haba. Ukvar Omar Achochem. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll, Mitzvah Shem, continue, and we'll maybe start even Perek Aleph next week, who knows? Okay.